Every one of us is wanted dead or alive. In fact, mankind is wanted dead or alive. You know, one of the things that people are so caught up in is in the terrorism, you know. But they're looking at man as being the fault of all of this terrorism and stuff that's going on. And it's not about the terrorists.
That's my brother-in-law.
How you doing? Come on in. God bless.
Nice to meet you.
Hallelujah. So it's really not about the terrorists. It's about who the terrorists or the people are leaning to. Amen? So when you really get back and you begin to look at all the things that are going on in the world, it's like somebody's trying to kill mankind. You know, and it ain't God that's trying to kill mankind. Amen? Praise God. So I'm going to share with a message tonight called Wanted, Dead or Alive. Amen? So let's start with Luke 4. Hallelujah. And Luke 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Luke 4:16. Is everybody all right? It's quiet in here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. In verse 16, let's read it together. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Now, I understand they're talking about Jesus, right? Now, Jesus had just come out of the wilderness, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the first place he went to was back home. And he went into the synagogue, and it was custom for them to take turns in reading the scriptures. And there was no coincidence that Jesus was handed the book of Isaiah. Amen? And in the book he was reading, in verse 18, and it says what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to share here, because it's really important that the first thing that Jesus truly preached was about the Spirit. See, without the Spirit, you have no relationship. You have religion. And it's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. So the only way that you have a true relationship with the King of Glory is in the Spirit. There are people who read the Word all day long. And don't get me wrong, reading the Word is good. But the Bible says the letter killeth and the Spirit brings life.
Amen.
See, it's only the Spirit of God that brings the Word alive.
Amen.
That's why there's many people go on out there doing the wrong things and proclaiming that they do know the Lord, but they know about the Lord because you can only know the Lord in the Spirit.
Amen.
And there's a difference. There's people that go out and proclaim this gospel. They can memorize it from cover to cover, but they have no power. And it's nothing but religion.
Amen.
Religion, a form of godliness, but deny the power. That's why there are people out there who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the casting out of the devils. They don't believe in it because they have not the Spirit. They have the letter. And they don't walk in power. And there's a difference. Amen? So look, and I want to share with you a couple of things. In verse 18 it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus proclaimed, this is the first preaching he's preaching about, isn't it? Who is he introducing everybody to? The Holy Spirit. Amen? So we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. It is important. The second thing he says, because he what? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now let me share something with you. Preaching the gospel to the poor is bringing the truth Paul stated, many will come preaching this gospel, but they'll be preaching another Jesus. Amen? A Jesus of religion, but not a Jesus of freedom. And it's only the Spirit of the Lord that brings freedom. Freedom. So we see here that it's the anointing that you and I need, isn't it? The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. If he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, how much more do me and you need to be? Amen? Now look what this. Look what he's saying. He's saying, okay, so Jesus has come to bring or to give the anointing that he is to his children. Amen? He's come to give the truth of light to his children. And it says, he has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, people that are captive are possessed. And recovery of the sight to the blind. People that are blinded. It's spiritual blinded. Amen. Blinded to what? To the truth. And set at liberty those who are oppressed. Well, the devil also oppresses, doesn't he? He possesses and oppresses. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus came to anoint his people, bring the truth, bring healing, set them free from possession, set them free from the lies of deception, from traditions of man that have been handed down, and loose them from the oppression of darkness and restore joy to their soul.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Praise be to God. Remember, you and I are wanted, dead or alive. But this is what Jesus has brought for me and you. Remember, Jesus is God, isn't he?
Amen?
Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Go to John 10. Hallelujah. John 10. Praise God.
Amen.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you.
Let's start at verse 9. Let's read this together. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Remember, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. The devil has come to steal and destroy. We got a powerful teaching about the wolf. Because the wolf comes in as a believer and takes and doesn't give. Amen?
Amen.
Comes in as a thief and a destroyer. And we see here that he's talking about the devil here, isn't he? He's talking about powers of darkness. And I just want to lay a foundation as we continue on in these series of wanted, dead or alive. Okay? So we need to start off in the simplicity and understanding and build a foundation of where we're going to. All right? Praise be to God. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. So you see, if the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, you're wanted, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen? You're wanted. Ephesians 6:12. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. So it tells us right there, you and I are not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting one another. You're not fighting drugs itself. You're not fighting.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? You're not fighting your spouses or your workers or your bosses. You are fighting powers of darkness. And that is the one deception that the devil does not want me and you to know.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to know that you're not fighting him. The greatest weapon he can have is to be hidden. But Jesus said, I've come to manifest so that he can be known, because God is light, isn't he? And he came to reveal darkness. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So you and I are not fighting flesh and blood. How many times do you start getting in an argument or getting sucked into the ring with the devil and don't even realize it? The next thing you realize, man, how did I get here? Man, what happened to me? And it's like, you know, did you ever notice that once you start, then it gets worse? You know why? Because those demons get fed on your emotions. Let me share with you that, you know, and all of us know, that's why there's no smoking in the discipleship house, because that's nothing but a devil.
Amen.
It's called a spirit of nicotine.
Yes.
And especially people who've smoked, majority who go back to smoking after God has set them free, and the Bible says that anything that God has set you free on, when you go back on and build back on it again, it's an abomination to him.
Amen.
Amen. How can we proclaim that Jesus is the deliverer and the healer, and yet we're not free?
Amen.
Completely free. Now, I'm not saying somebody who smokes or whatever is going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
They're not going to hell. But they're sure not going to have an easy walk.
Amen.
Because it's an open door to demonic activity. It's called an accursed item. Mm-hmm. And people are deceived from the darkness about things that are called accursed items.
Yeah.
That's nothing but a spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So we're fighting powers of darkness, aren't we? Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Glory. Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. Praise be to God. All blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hosea 4:6, and to God be the glory. Remember, Jesus came to what? He came to give his anointing, right? He came to give life more abundantly. He came to release us from oppression of the devil, possession of the devil. He came to remove the blinders from our eyes so that we can see the truth. And he came to restore our joy.
Amen.
And bring joy.
Thank you.
Ain't nothing worse than a miserable Christian.
Amen.
Stay home till you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You better worship your way through, man. Don't go out and tell nobody you know Jesus if you're miserable, man. Stay home. Stay home till you get right with your Father. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Come on, read it with me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what that means? My people are destroyed for not knowing the truth. You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees because they were following traditions of men that had been handed down lines. And he said, you make the word of God no effect. He said, you search the scriptures. That witness of me, thinking you have eternal life. But you won't come after me to get it, he said. Put them in their place. Call them hypocrites. They dressed with robes. They looked all fancy, had a form of godliness, but never knew him. Knew about him. They knew the scriptures about him. It's like reading statistics to a football player. You can know all about him, but never know him. Because when you really know him, in the spirit, you're free.
Amen.
You're free. And that's what God's trying to bring all of his children to. He's trying to move them from the outer courts into the Holy of Holies, into the most holy place. Because where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Amen. So my people are destroyed for lack of truth, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of fellowship. The Bible says that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, right? And we won't lack. So if he's truly our Lord and Savior, we won't lack. Amen? Because if we have fellowship in the Spirit, you're not going to lack, because the Spirit of the Lord brings you to all truth. Glory to God. And it says what now? Because you have rejected knowledge, or because you have rejected truth, I also reject you from being priests for me. And everybody's first call as a believer is priesthood. Everybody's first calling as a child of God, their first office is to become a priest. And a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. And you will always fulfill that office. That office is always sustained. Amen? It says, I also reject you from being priests. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Woo! How many children have gone astray? We were some of them. Because our families weren't right before God. Thank God for his mercies and his grace. Amen? Hallelujah. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen? Our people are destroyed for lack of truth, lack of understanding of the truth, lack of fellowship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, to God be the glory. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Come on, let's read it together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'd say you're wanted dead or alive, man. That's quite simple, isn't it? Wanted dead or alive, doesn't matter. He'll use you until you die, and then he'll go to somebody else. His presence alone brings addiction, brings sickness, brings oppression, brings bondage, brings deception, fulfills lust. That's his presence alone. Amen. Remember, the devil's greatest weapon is not to be known. That's his whole thing. He doesn't want you to know he's a part of your life. You know how many people tell me, I don't believe in the devil. That's right. 30% of them are in you.
Amen.
Well, I have no problems. Of course you don't. You're serving the devil and don't even know it.
Amen.
Three things the devil doesn't want you to know. That he's involved in your life. He doesn't want you to know the truth, and he doesn't want you to seek God with all your heart. If he can prevent you from any one of these things, he's there. He's in you. He's there. Amen?
What was the second one, Pastor? Sorry.
The first one? He doesn't want you to know that you're there? Amen? He doesn't want you to know the truth, and he doesn't want you to seek God with all of your heart. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. Do you believe the word's the truth?
Amen.
Well, praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Start at verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Let's read this together. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now let me share something with you. Idolater is a representation of an idol, something that is between you and God. It's actually a representation of worship of creation instead of worship of creator. That's an idolater. Okay. Verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by what? Serpents. What's a serpent? Amen. Ooh. Verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the... Well, who's the destroyer?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what?
Demons.
Demons, and not to God. In other words, they're offering things up to demons. And the Bible says that you and I present our spirit, soul, and body, and all of our members to God, aren't we? As a living sacrifice. But if you're serving things of the world, you're offering yourself up as a sacrifice to demons. Hallelujah. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with what?
Demons.
So we go back to the understanding that we don't fight flesh and blood, right?
Amen.
And that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of truth, because the devil has access to many people's lives because of ignorance, because of things brought down by family line, because of unclean things, accursed items. They have no idea. Some of them learn, and never come to the truth. Because only the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, brings the truth. People study this word like it's a book out of a school or a college. But they never get the truth. Because only the Spirit of God, you must have fellowship with the author before you can understand this. Many people can't understand Paul's writings. You know, it was like in the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church at that time, which was running many things in the Dark Ages, they used to burn people that were praying in tongues. Man, if you prayed in tongues, you were a devil to them. You search history and see how many Christians were killed by the Catholic Church. And I'm like, I'm not bringing down the Catholic Church. I'm not against any denomination. That's just proven fact in history. Amen? Because there's many wonderful men and women of God that are Catholics. It's not about denomination. It's about relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So anything that's between you and God, even your children can become an idol. You know how many believers are living in adultery? They have no idea, which is an open door. Well, God knows my heart. Amen. He's trying to reveal it to you. He's trying to convict you and tell you what you're doing is going to end up in hell. Well, if I believe, if Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I'm all right. No, who you serve when you die is where you go. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for lack of truth. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Think you're wanted dead or alive, man. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Truth makes us free. So if you feel convicted, don't worry about it. You can repent and get right with God. Hallelujah. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Let's read this together, okay? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So who don't want you to walk in the Spirit? Who don't even want you to know about the Holy Spirit? Who don't want you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Who don't want you to move in the gifts of the Spirit? It's called the Antichrist. Every demon's an Antichrist, so don't worry about it. And Christ is a representation of the anointing of God. And he does not want you to have the power. Then he doesn't have control over you. And that's what religion's all about. Having control over people. Amen. Form of godliness, but denying the power. You can't make it home on somebody else's shirt tails. Amen. You must make it home on your own relationship and work out your own salvation with God Almighty. But it's sure a lot easier to work it out with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit than trying to work it out in the flesh, isn't it? You're not going to bring too many souls home in the flesh. And you're not going to be a very good witness in the flesh. Hallelujah. So it says that walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the flesh, right? And verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You know, the doctrine of Satan is do what thou feel like. And you and I used to walk in the world going, well, man, if it feels good, do it. Right. I mean, we used to even convince ourselves, since God made marijuana and coca leaves, it was okay to do. Well, if God made this and that, it's okay to do. Hallelujah. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. Jesus never removed the law. He fulfilled it. That doesn't give us a right to go sin. Does everybody get it? You know, like people that go out and do whatever on a weekend and say, well, I'll just ask God to forgive us Monday. And if that's in your heart to do it the next weekend, there is no forgiveness. Because the word repent means to turn away. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now the word sorcery means drugs. Greek word off of pharmakos, which means drugs, black magic, and witchcraft. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, man, who you serve when you die is where you go. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Wanted, dead or alive. I remember that song by Bon Jovi. Wanted, dead or alive. Used to be. That was the only words that we could use out of it today. Wanted, dead or alive. Brother needs salvation. In verse 26. Hallelujah. Come on, let's read it now. How are we doing on this tape? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I still can't see it. Okay. In verse 26, let's read it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Whoa. So if you and I sin willfully, after knowing the truth, there is no sacrifice. Now, you got to understand something. The ministry of the Spirit, this is the ministry of the Spirit. The New Testament is known as the ministry of the Spirit. The Spirit means, the word Spirit means breath. That's why you must confess your sins. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So if you willfully sin, there is no sacrifice, is there? If you know what you're doing and you're going to go sin, you're going to go do it, without repentance, you die, you don't go home. That's why when you willfully sin, now look at in verse 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' laws dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. That's pretty powerful. You know how many people went to hell on the day the towers fell down? Many. You know how many people went to heaven? Praise God. You know how many people never got a chance to repent and that were serving the devil and their lives were taken out just like that? And where did they go? Hell. There is no in-between. You can't go someplace and try and work it out. Once your last breath is out, it's it. You know how many people overdose and go to hell? Many. You know, and I share this with you because when I was out there using, before I would take a hit, I would say, God, if I die, take me home. You know what he said? I can't. I didn't realize I needed to come to repentance. Even when I tried to kill myself in suicide. Because I was calling out to him, he rescued me. So that I could come to repentance. Because when you say, Lord, forgive me, the blood of Jesus is activated. Nothing is activated without spoken. Jesus came into the world. He didn't think the devil away. He spoke him away. Amen. He didn't command spirits to leave by his thoughts. He commanded to come out by what he spoke. Because it is the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. That's why praise and worship is so important. That's why speaking the word is so important. Because it is the ministry of the Spirit. And the one thing the devil don't want you to do is speak, sing, praise and worship. Because then he's got one hand on your mouth. And the other hand on your spine. Hallelujah. Should we go on?
Sure.
Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quick, simple teaching tonight, laying a good foundation so we can go on to this teaching and get in the depths of inner healing and so forth. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and glory to the Lamb. You ready? Verse 2. Let's read it together. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Amen? Now let's go on, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, the gospel represents what? Truth. If the truth is veiled to somebody, okay? If there's rebellion involved, if there's rejection involved, somebody else is there. Look it. If the gospel is veiled, it is what? It is veiled to those who are what? Who are perishing. Why? Because my people are being destroyed for lack of what? Truth or knowledge. Amen? Come on, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Now, who's the God of this age?
Satan.
He's the ruler of this earth. But you and I come from underneath his covering when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow him. Remember, Jesus didn't go to his disciples and say, believe me. He said, follow me. Follow me. You can say you're a believer all day long, but until you start following is when your true belief begins to manifest. Amen. Whose minds of God is this age is blinded, who do not believe. Come on. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Remember, God is trying to bring light into a dark area. Amen. He's trying to bring light into a dark area. So if you can't, if you don't believe, that means somebody's blinding you. And the Bible says that the ruler of this world, the God of this world, who is Satan, is blinding you from the truth. Because the Bible says that truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. Not what you believe. There are many people out there with a lot of beliefs. But they're not free. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, and I was brought into the glory of light and filled with the Spirit, and when the Lord was done with me, and I walked away from that encounter with the Lord, I realized I've been lied to my whole life. I've been brought up in church, but never left the church a different person. Left the same way I went in. I was told about all kinds of religion and rules and regulations and about how to perform duties, but never realized that I had to have a relationship in the Spirit. And when the Lord left me that day after my encounter with him, I realized I'd been lied to by my parents, by the school, by the people that I thought were, I guess, godly people, because they didn't know the truth. Not that they lied on purpose. They didn't know the truth themselves. See, when I was brought up, I was told the Bible was a story. I used to see people smoke and drink who supposedly were men and women of God. I thought that was okay. It wasn't okay. It wasn't a witness of the true Christ. It wasn't a witness of the freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you and I must allow the Spirit of God to have access to every part of our life for me and you to be free. The only reason why he doesn't is because we're blinded in an area and we're rejecting him from having access. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the Lord is trying to bring light into our dark areas. Does everybody get it? Why? Who is blinding me and you? Satan. Now understand this. This is powerful, and we talked about this a little bit Sunday. Now, if the devil is representation of darkness, right? I mean, it's called the kingdom of darkness. It's called the ruler of darkness, the prince of darkness. So where he blinds me and you, that means there's a dark area there. That means any place in you that there's a dark area, he has a path to. And the Lord is trying to bring light to that path so he can't access you. Does everybody get it? And confession brings light. It's so important. Confession brings light. That's why it is the ministry of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I am a life-giving Spirit. That's why Jesus proclaimed the Holy Spirit, his first preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To what? To set people free. To declare the truth. He was sharing, listen, you're not going to get the understanding. You won't know the truth without the Spirit of the Lord, without fellowship in the Spirit. That's why it's so important to welcome the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to get filled with the Holy Spirit and to maintain filling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we see here the first thing that the devil wants to do is blind you. If he can, before he can get to you, he must first blind you. Did you ever notice that everybody else is telling you something around you and you can't get it? How many times when you and I were out there and we were using whatever and people say, man, you got a drug problem. No, I don't. Well, you were blinded in that area, weren't you? Man, you're bound by that spirit of nicotine. No, I don't. It's okay. Man, you're bound by lust, man. You need to quit watching that garbage on that TV. That stuff's all right. I know Jesus. You're blinded, man. And the devil has access to you. Does everybody get it? He has access to you. And the Lord wants to bring light to every part of your temple.
Amen.
Light everywhere. So before he can get to you, he first must blind you. And then he gets access to you. That's why the Bible says, get dressed with the full armor of God. Put on the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. Why? He's throwing those darts at you. If you accept one of those darts as your own thoughts, then he blinds you. And then he has access to you. That's why the Bible says it's your responsibility and my responsibility to cast down thoughts and imaginations. Right? Hallelujah. Hebrews 3. Praise be to God. Hebrews 3. Meat in a bottle. Hallelujah. And verse 12. Let's read it together, okay? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we have to be careful, don't we? Because rebellion brings a hardened heart. In fact, justification is a fruit of a hardened heart. How many times do we justify why we did what we did? Well, you know, the dog got hit by a car, so I thought I'd go out and drink. They sent the wrong mail to my address, and so I, you know, when I got high. I mean, we used to justify whatever. Well, that's all right. You know, there are things that is sin for you as an individual that might not be sin for somebody else. I know for me, to ever go out and pick a drink up or a cigarette up is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm building on the things that God has freed me from. That's called sin. That is sin. And the wages of sin is death. So for me, to even go to touch those things, because they're called unclean, accursed items, and the Bible says, come out from among them and do not touch those unclean things. Then I will be a father to you. That's why some people have a hard time. in relationship with God because they will not let go of unclean things. In other words, they're getting fulfillment on creation instead of creator. And there's a difference.
Did not Jesus say, have wine but not to excess? New wine.
What, the wine? Yeah. Amen. But what it,
but not to excess.
Okay, but I'm not here to, you know. I know where you're coming from. Amen. I know where you're coming from. No problem. But that's okay. To God be the glory. I just want to go on, okay? Because we're recording this. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's see, where are we now? 3:14, thank you. Come on, let's read it together. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we what? If we hold. Hold. Now, we may take what that scripture says and use it as justification to use. Couldn't we?
Amen.
Well, don't get excessive. I don't know anybody that goes out and drinks two drinks. No. I mean, don't get excessive. In other words, what is sin for you may not be sin for somebody else. There may be somebody that can go out and have one drink. But let me share something with you. What did the Lord say? Do not drink it when it clings to the side. He says, woe unto them who serve intoxicating drinks. Woe unto them. So what we do is we can utilize the scriptures to drink. But it's not true. And if you really do the research in it, you'll find what they used to do, because yeast ferments wine. And yeast used to grow on the grapes. That's where yeast grows. So when they would crush the grapes, they would drink it as quick as possible. It wasn't meant to be fermented. It was meant to be drank as quick as possible. And if you'll read, when Jesus turned the water into wine, what did they say? Well, man, usually they give the best first, right? And bring the... Why? Because in the period of time, it begins to get fermented. Amen. So what you and I call wine was actually a representation of more of a grape juice than it was a fermented. But it used to ferment. So we can use that scripture to go get high and to use. And isn't it the devil that utilized those scriptures? Didn't he tempt Jesus? He said, listen, man, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just jump off this cliff here, man, and the angels will pick you up. And we don't want to tempt God.
Amen.
Remember, the more things the Bible says, come out from among the world and be separate. The more things you touch of the world, the further you're away from God. You can only get so close. Who can approach the mountain of God but he has a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands? How bad do you want a relationship with God? How close do you want to get to the Lord? Do you want to see healing and signs and wonders? Do you want to see the power of God in your life? Do you want to be a carnal Christian or a spirit-filled Christian? Do you want to be a walking witness and a miracle or just a testimony? No, I call that a track. You want to be a track or a sign and wonder? It's up to you. Amen. Let's go on. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Go back to Hebrews 2, verse 14. Come on. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So the devil was given power of death, wasn't he? Hey, the word speaks for itself. Amen. Come on, let's go. Acts 1:8. But we have another power. The power that he is in us is greater than he is in the world. Only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God are you able to say no to alcohol, no to drugs, no to cigarettes, no to lust, no to fornication, no. Only through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Only. Other than that, you're fulfilling the lust. You're fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Acts 1:8. Hallelujah. Let's go there. Actually, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Acts 1:4 so we can really get the understanding. Let's all read this together. And being assembled together with them, he, who's he?
Jesus.
Now remember, this is he, Jesus. He said, now they're all assembled together with his disciples, isn't he? What did he say? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now let me share something with you. He did not ask them. He commanded them. He said, listen, I do not want you to do anything, to go anywhere. Now, they walked with Jesus on the earth for 3 years, didn't they? Or 3.5, however long it was. They saw beautiful signs and wonders. They walked with the Lord. They saw all of these things. They were taught the Word. They walked with the Word. And he still commanded. He said, listen, don't you dare go out and tell nobody about me. Don't you dare go out and do anything. I command you to wait for the promise of my Father. Does everybody get it? It was a command from God. It's a command from God for everyone to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because he knows you can't be the witness.
Amen.
Come on. Next verse. He tells us now. In verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Does everybody get it? Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have no relationship. It's carnal. It's a relationship with the words and letters. You may know all about him, but never know him. I'm not saying you're going to hell. But I use the saying all the time, I want to know the cab driver when the cab comes and picks me up. Go to verse 8. In verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power. Come on, say it again.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing that Jesus came preaching? He said, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to what? Free, to deliver, to heal. That's the same thing for me and you.
Amen.
And man, I remember when I got filled, you know, when I had my encounter with the Lord and baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled instantly, in the cloud of glory. I didn't know the Word. I didn't know nothing, but I met my daddy. But you know, the Word was parted in me by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I didn't know the Word. I never read the Word in my life, but I was able to obey it.
Amen.
And we went and had an outreach on Mercy Drive, rescuing people bound by drugs and alcohol, laying hands on them and casting out devils and doing kinds of things. And I went in this other area, and I went in this church, and there was this pastor in there, and I said, listen, man, let's have a revival out here. Let's pray for these people. They need to have the power of God. And he said, well, I've been here 13 years, this, that, whatever. Things are still the same. And I shared with him my encounter. He said, no way. That was for them then. You don't speak in tongues. You don't do this. I said, what? What? I went to Daddy. I said, Daddy, what's this? He said, religion. I said, well, Daddy, he said, they don't know me. Because I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They only know me by what they read about me. But they don't know me. They only know me what people say, but they have no personal relationship with me. See, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't go looking for God in the Word. You go looking for Him in the Spirit. Then He confirms it through the Word. And there's a difference. Because there's a relationship. Jesus came as a witness, didn't he? He came to confirm everything. He came in the image and likeness of God and God himself. He chose, God Almighty chose to come in a place bound by time, to come and be one of his own creations, so that he can rescue his people, so that his own blood can make the eternal atonement, and so that his own spirit can dwell in me and you, and we can have the power to walk in the same image and likeness as him, because everyone is predestined to be conformed into his image and likeness. Amen? But we have a choice. That's the one thing that's wonderful. You and I were created out of a choice. We are created out of a free will. That's why you must make a conscious effort to go, stir yourself up and go after God. It is our responsibility. Ours. Nobody else's. Everyone will get before God and they'll ask us, what did you do with the life I gave you? Where's the souls? Why did you reject my counsel of my spirit? Why didn't you listen to my servant? Why didn't you heed? Why did you reject? Why is your heart hardened? We're going to be accountable for everything when we get before him. And those that go around preaching, once saved, always saved, I don't want to be in their shoes when they get before God. No way. I do not want to be in their shoes. Because that's a lie from hell. Total lie from hell. And then they come with all kinds of stuff. It's ridiculous. It's just another justification for man to sin. That's ridiculous. God is a righteous, a holy, and a justice God. He's also a daddy that loves us. He's not sitting up there waiting for me and you to mess up so he can beat us up. He's up there counseling us, giving us direction, giving us guidance, filling us with his spirit. But seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Draw near to him and he draweth near to you. Sow in the spirit and you'll reap life. Sow in the flesh and you'll reap corruption. The word will not return void. Never does. James 4. Hallelujah. One more scripture and we're done. James chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. But he... Oh, verse 6. I'm sorry. Come on, aren't you guys in the Spirit? All right, I repent. Hallelujah. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. How? Grace. You know what grace is? Three attributes of grace. First of all, grace holds back the judgment of God. Okay. The second thing is it's favor of God. And the third thing grace represents is co-labor with God. Because Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace. He was also known as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus actually came to say, come on, walk with me. So you can become a co-laborer with him, but you can only become a co-laborer with him in the Spirit. In the Spirit, because he was a life-giving Spirit. Hallelujah. How many of y'all need favor of God? Amen. Amen. We want favor of God. Amen. Amen. So what does he say? Therefore, he says, come on, read it with me. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, a humble individual is one who seeks God. One of the things is, you know, the Bible says we're to be childlike, aren't we? You know, a child is quick to forgive, right? Willing to learn. All teachable, right? But we must be childlike. All trusting. Three things. Teachable, quick to forgive, and all trusting. Trusting in who? Their Heavenly Father. How can you trust someone you don't know? It's not an easy thing. Amen. It's not easy. Verse 7. Come on, let's read it. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, wait a minute. Resisting the devil. First of all, you can't resist the devil until you've submitted totally unto God. Submitting unto God means humbling yourself before him. Submitting unto God means obeying this word. Submit to God, submitting to authority, submitting to all the things of God. You cannot resist the devil until you submit to God. That's why people are blinded. Resisting the devil doesn't mean go, oh, okay, I resist you, devil, I submitted to God. Resisting means overtaking. Overtaking. Because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. We're to overtake. You're to overpower temptation. You can't just continue to resist it like this because eventually it will overpower you, won't it? You must overpower it. Because with the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, you have power. In fact, the Word says we are to cast down thoughts and imaginations. It doesn't say resist thoughts and imaginations. It says, cast them down. Mm-hmm. So you're to do something with this resistance, aren't you? It's like something leaning on you. You're resisting it, holding it up. Eventually, it's going to overtake you until you overtake it. So when you submit unto the things of God, then you're able to resist the devil. You're able to say no to temptations. That's why some people just can't out. They can't outrun. You can't outrun the devil. Let me tell you that. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast created. He's no dummy. He knows exactly how to get access to every single one of us. But only by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will you know all truths. The Bible says that the anointing teaches us all things. Well, if you don't have the anointing, if you're not in fellowship with the Spirit, in the Spirit, you're not going to know. You'll keep receiving this conviction and never do anything about it. Keep shoving it under the rug because there is the lack of that relationship. Amen? Amen? See, God not only wants us to know his word, he wants us to know his heart. Amen. So he doesn't have to convict you. You want to please him. Amen. You want to know him. There's a relationship in the spirit realm, not in the carnal realm. Amen? Hallelujah. So you and I must submit to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee. Let's go to verse 8. It says what? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Say it again. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we need to cleanse our hands. Cleanse our hands from what? Accursed items. Things that have of creation that bring fulfillment. Cleanse your hands. Why? Your hands. And then it says purify your heart. Because where your hands are, your heart is too. Then he calls us double-minded. In fact, I think it's in Psalm 50 or 51, he rebukes a believer who says goes around and tells people about his covenant, but yet does the things of the world. He rebukes them. How dare you, he says, even talk about me or my covenant when you yourself do the things behind closed doors that are not right before my eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we're going to close here. I'm not going to go any further. We'll do part two of Wanted, Dead or Alive. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you continue to fill us, empower us, convict us where repentance can come. Lord, whatever is a dark area in our life, let light shine so we can have fellowship with light. You, Jesus. You. Lord, we love you. We exalt you. And we want to know you more. We promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.